buyer who liked my feature on Littleton, which is a suburb that I live in. That one had 34 views, and he's moving here in June from New York. The vanity metrics don't really matter.
If low views are preventing you from recording your videos or even posting them, you're going to want to stick around for today's episode. We have real estate agent Jeremy Kane joining us, who's going to share his insight on YouTube and how low views on a YouTube video, yes, even the ones with 5, 10, or 17, can still sell you homes and still bring in quality leads. So stick around for this episode. And by the way, don't forget, join the email club. It's free. And every Friday, you get tips around how to increase your online visibility and build a stronger business here online. All right. So, Jeremy, give us a quick intro about who you are and what you do. And then we're going to dive into this conversation around videos and the views and how we can start to continue to put out content, even if we have low views or are worried about low views, while still making sales and connections.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been in real estate about 10 years now, 10 and a half actually, since we just crossed over. I'm a son of a former real estate broker. I left my dad's company to join the Wolfpack about 2.5 years ago. And so that was a big change for me, but I have it in my blood, obviously. My dad had a huge impact, and we're still buddies. He still invites me to Christmas dinner after leaving his brokerage. But that's kind of the history. And I've been a top producing agent. This last year, I was number five at EXP in the state of Colorado. Spent some time at number one in volume, but I got passed up towards the end. And now I just try and help agents where I can. I have 80 agents in my organization who I train, mentor, and coach. So, have done a ton on video, have two YouTube channels, Instagram, all the things. So, yeah, excited to dive into this one.
Okay, I love that. So you have two YouTube channels. Most agents are trying to just handle one. You like get the urge to like actually post on one because they probably have it set up. And when I say set up, they have the name and maybe a
Maybe a
description,
banner.
maybe a banner, maybe a description. And then others may have like a video from like a year or 5 years ago. So you have two YouTube channels. Let's break that down just for a second. Like, why do you have two YouTube channels?
I have two YouTube channels. One is for production, and one is for agents. I have a passion to coach agents, so I produce two videos a week on that. And production, I produce one video. And I just have different layers, right? I have two Instagram channels. I do have one Facebook that it's focused on production. So when I have a production video, it goes to YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and I do have Instagram over there. And then for the agent education and training agents, I have a YouTube and Instagram.
That's fantastic. And so are you managing all of the content? Like you're putting everything on YouTube, or do you have a team that now helps you with that?
I have a VA that helps post the thing. So I create the content. I, utilize AI to help with descriptions and things like that. Put it in a Trello board, and then I have a VA who posts it and optimizes when it goes out and all of that.
Perfect. Okay. Great. So we have the YouTube channels and we have the I was going to just say channel, but channels. We have the YouTube channels. Both are specific for one thing. So everyone's going to it for one thing. So that's the
Target
channel.
audience is huge, right? Like,
Yeah.
I can't be talking about, a tactic to get clients and have clients watching it. You
Right.
know, essentially. Like, so that's kind of why I separated them. The audiences are so different, and I didn't want to get confused because I still am fully in production and fully in agent attraction. So I didn't want there to be any confusion. So that target audience is huge. But that helps me a ton with content creation. Knowing exactly who my target avatar is helps me deliver content to them directly.
Excellent. Excellent. Okay, so let's break that down for a second here. So we have the two YouTube channels, two target audiences. Now, going into the content creation part of it, like, give us an overview of, you mentioned Trello, for those who aren't familiar, it's a project management system. And how do you go about, like, now you have the idea, did you take it and what do you do with it? You got the idea and how do you filter it from there?
Yeah, for a long time I was having the idea. I'd put it in my phone in notes. I listen to a lot of podcasts, and I'm a member of Arte Syndicate and a lot of different personal development kind of driven things. And so when I had something or I had a question come up from a client or an agent, I would put it in there, and then I would take hours upon hours to kind of create an outline, and then a description, and then the tags, and then the title. And then I do also outsource my thumbnails, because for $5-$10 a thumbnail, I spend hours and hours trying to get it right, and it still looks like crap. So I'm not an artist by trade. So I outsource that stuff. I do outsource a lot of it, but in the beginning I did not. And I would suggest that to anyone. You don't want to get this whole outsourcing team and then fall on your face and get scared to get on video. Yeah. I knew pretty well that I was ready for video. I did January 2020. I started Facebook Lives Why Invest Wednesday to my production audience, and I've gone live every Wednesday. I've missed two, and I've also done two on Thursdays, but I've only missed 2 weeks. And one time I was in Lake Powell, unable to have internet, and I can't remember the other one I missed. Maybe it was a Christmas or something. But that really helped me understand being on video. It got a lot of the nerves out because I was live. There was no editing. There was no additional post. It was just done.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I love hearing that. That's exactly how I started my video journey, was doing live. Yeah. In fact, way back in the day, Periscope, I started there because that was pretty much the first one to have it. Yeah. And then I slowly eased into Facebook because I was like, I don't want everyone to see me that knows me to see me, because then they're going to judge me. And so I started with the Periscope part of it, and that helped ease me into it.
Yeah, I just went straight to Facebook and said, let's roll. People loved it. Yeah. I mean, I don't care about telling my story and, you know, buying a house at 19 and having 7 rental properties and, you know, personal residence at by 4, I'll turn 40 in a week. So, that's what I like to tell. And that's what I started with, right? That was my basis. Like, hey guys, like, you could literally have a 7-figure net worth pretty quickly with $0 if you just make the move. So that's where it started, but now it's more market stuff and everything.
Okay.
That was three years ago now, 4 years, going on 4 years here.
Wow. Okay. So we got the channels, we got the target audience, we got the content creation process of that. What's your schedule? Are you doing batch filming, like one day you just knock it all out of the park and then send it off to the VA to do edits and
optimization? And I'll be completely honest with you. I come up with ideas. Yeah. Sometimes I come up with talking points and I roll them into my GPT, which was built custom for me by one of my agents. And literally now I come up with the idea. If I have the talking points, I throw them in there. Sometimes I just come up with the idea and it spits out an outline for me. I don't need scripts. I can't read off a teleprompter. I did that for a time. But now I'm expert in both of the areas that I'm talking about. So if I just have a bulleted point thing, so I manage the flow, it works pretty well. So then I have ChatGPT spit that out. It spits out a description based on the keywords I want, based on my personality and my bot that my buddy Adam Gillespie has programmed. He's big into the AI scene for real estate agents. So he built that bot for me, and now we just roll, and it's pretty cool. And obviously I proofread and all the things, but now it took content creation from a 3-hour process for 3 videos to a 12-minute process for 3 videos.
Kidding.
So yeah, it's pretty impressive. So utilizing it helps me organize my thoughts. It writes better than me, does a lot of things better than me. So it saved a lot of time. And then I just record the content, which is actually the hard part.
Right.
But have the studio set up. You see the lights. I have, you know, the cameras. I have all the things. So,
and are you sitting
the
down?
Process.
Are you sitting and down like every Monday to do something, or how does that work?
Yeah. So I do that. A Thursday is my day. So I usually take an hour before one of my calls and kind of get all the things lined out that I'm going to record. And then after that call, I have a 3-hour block where I just batch those. Ah. Now for my production channel, I do it on Wednesdays. And I go live, and I use OBS to also record in the background. because I use StreamYard to go live on multiple platforms. And so that quality isn't quite as good. So I use StreamYard to go live and I'm recording on OBS and I send that off to my editor. I do have an editor as well. So I have an editor, a thumbnail guy, and my VA helps blast it out.
Nice. And now,
so I do that and record.
And the VA person is doing also the SEO optimization for titles and descriptions?
I do a little bit of titles that it'll spit out 10 title options for my idea. It spins out 5 thumbnail options. So I take the description I like, send it to my thumbnail editor, or she does actually. My VA sends that out because it's in Trello. She gets in the back end, sends that to the thumbnail order. I record the video, send it to my editor. My editor uploads it into Drive. And my VA takes it from there and matches it up from the Trello description and does that.
Oh, it's beautiful. That is like so nice and straightforward, especially now that you have also dedicated days for that process, because then it helps everything else flow.
Yeah. And I do want to say, like, don't compare your starting point for your audience, at least. Like, you don't need all of this. Honestly, I would just get comfortable on video before I started paying someone to do it. And we can kind of go down this road in a second, but I sucked at editing. It was hours upon hours upon hours, and here we are. So that's kind of my process, but it's as easy as, you know, recording the video, maybe start on Facebook, somewhere simple where the SEO isn't quite as intense as like YouTube. Get used to being on video, get used to seeing, you know, some results and engagement, and then you can cross over. But don't feel like you need all of these things. And I have agents in my downline that are graphic designers and they love doing the thumbnails. They don't outsource those. I have agents that love editing. Like, that's not me. Yeah. I run 2 pretty full-time businesses with agent attraction and production. So that's just what works for me. But I also have the income, you know, to do it. And I have closed transactions directly from my YouTube channel too. So that helps.
Yes. Yeah. And let's dive into that, because that's all part of that process, right? And that result that we're all trying to get is, you know, a lot of people think that you have to have millions of views and go viral in order to have success. But that's not always true. And in fact, most of the time, it's not true. So tell us a little bit more about that journey for you.
Yeah, so my first client that I got from YouTube was about probably a year into, maybe 10 months into recording videos and editing, like really being dialed into posting once a week or twice a week on YouTube. Okay. And so I had a video and it was just about my pricing strategy and how I price homes, and, you know, is directed at sellers. And one day I had some lady call me up and she said, "Hey, I watched this video titled this." And I was like, "Oh, cool." And I was like, "Oh, that must have blown up. Finally, like, I'm getting back some traction," because I did outsource my SEO to someone on Fiverr and it was really good. And I was getting thousands of views and it was awesome, but I wasn't really getting any engagement. And then all of a sudden my views went from United States to all Russia, and I don't sell houses in Russia. So that was a problem. And I feel like that's kind of push the algorithm down. So at that time I was like, "Oh yes, it's coming back." Yeah. Right. I'm ready to roll. And I looked at the video and it had 17 views. And I literally signed up a $1.1 million listing from that call.
Oh my gosh. So that, I mean, how did that feel? Were you down and out when you saw that it only had 17 views, or at that point you were already like, it's good. Like, it worked. Right.
I mean, I don't care. All I need is really one view if they're going to pay me, you know, 3.2% on a 1.1 million or whatever they're going to pay me. It was not that at all, because in doing video and being in it at that time, you know, 3 years into my journey, every person I talked to and every client I talked to mentioned a video. Now, where they watched it, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, I don't know. I mean, some of them say, "I saw your video on X," but not X, maybe right. X, but not really, Facebook or whatever. So I knew it was working. And my target audience kind of evolved into my sphere and my people. And it gives me amazing street cred because I do a market update every single month.
Yeah.
And so it's almost like people don't even care about the market, which I think is positive for buyers and sellers, not to be like, understand exactly what the interest rate is or what, you know, the appreciation rate is, because the truth is that people need to buy and sell when people need to buy and sell.
Right.
And they shouldn't make their judgment on a headline that says interest rates are high or interest rates are low. Life happens. And so I had some street cred of people being like, yep, Jeremy knows the market. Like, I don't even have to turn on those headlines, because if I have a question, I know that Jeremy's got my back because I've seen his videos. I see that he's constantly talking to buyers or sellers. So, I mean, I wasn't down it out at all at that point. I was like, that's cool. You know, let's go. And she happened to tell me she watched it on YouTube specifically, and I didn't know her. A lot of the people that are giving me the feedback, I know they're my friends, they're my buddies, they're past clients, whatever.
Sure.
And so I looked at it, I was like, cool. And it takes me back, like my mentor, Mike Sherrard, obviously a huge YouTube guy, always talks about coaching agents, right? Coaches thousands of agents on the other side of video. Once you get them on video, Mike's a really good follow for YouTube and all of that. And he always says, like, the minute that someone says, when am I going to get my first deal from on YouTube, he knows that they'll probably fail, because he also knows that the dedicated effort of being consistent will eventually get you, you know, transactions and get you the connections you need. However, there's no magic number. He's had agents do one and get a deal. He's had agents do 100 and never get deals. You know, depending on how it rolls, and there's all kinds of things that go into it. And so there's no dedicated time to put in, and real estate agents really struggle with that, right? It's always about ROI. It's like, did that mailer get me, you know, any transactions? Okay, I'm going to stop doing it. I sent that mailer three times, like, I'm out, right? Yeah. And so if you look at video as just an encyclopedia of your knowledge and as a resource for your clients above, you know, a lead generation source, you'll go a lot further and you can still save time. If I had no views on any of my videos, I could still save a ton of time when someone asks me, I'm looking at my channel right now, like, oh, timing the market. I have a video that I posted 11 months ago. Right. And I can just send it to them. I'd say, hey, here's my opinion on timing the market. Right. And it takes me 12 seconds. They can watch 10 minutes of me going on and on about timing the market and how it's never possible, really.
Right.
And, you know, so you utilize it that way as a tool to save yourself from having the same conversation over and over and over again.
Yeah, no, that's such a great point. And that's the beauty of having these videos, is that it's not just to get that sale. It's to help be that resource and consistently be out there and staying top of mind, because the videos live on. And like you mentioned, right, it's not just using one platform, it's having it on multiple platforms and understanding that just because you got 17 views on YouTube doesn't mean that the 200 views you got on Facebook don't account. Like, it's all of those collectively. And again, like you said, it just takes one view.
Absolutely. And so that's huge. And then just keep going. Like, if you do two videos for 2 years consistently, you will have positive results. You might not have a lead, you might not have anything, but you'll be comfortable on video and you'll probably have some pretty good feedback or results or videos to utilize or, you know, whatever.
Yeah. I don't know if you do this, but this is one thing that I just heard on a podcast I was listening to last week, was having a dedicated, so talking about YouTube and trying to see that conversion and like understand like where the leads are coming from. One podcast episode, they were talking about how one person actually has a dedicated email address that they'll put only for their YouTube channel. So their call to action in all their videos and in the description is to have them go to that email address. And then that's how they know specifically where those leads are coming from. And so that's just another one way that people can do that. Do you do anything?
Your call to actions are huge. I don't have any dedicated I do drive people to my Instagram and all the things. I think my goal is to use YouTube as a way to build trust, right? And if they build trust and then they're, you know, following me on Instagram, they see a little bit different side. They see my kids. They see, you know, that kind of stuff every once in a while, family. So it's just, this is the tip of the iceberg. YouTube is my real estate knowledge, like, which I'm pretty proud of. Like, I'll go to bat against most people as far as my real estate market knowledge and what I've done. And then maybe they just need a little more, right? Maybe the video, my listing tour, right, doesn't do it for them, but they're like, okay, well, I see that listing video. It's professional. It's really good. You know, has those ones get a little bit more views because of how I distribute them. Right. But that's where you got to step back and be like, okay, then take them down the next train, right? You know, it's not YouTube and lead. Sometimes it is, sometimes it's not. Sometimes they need a little more. So that's what I do. I know people have dedicated phone numbers. One of my lending partners, Jimmy Everett's here in Denver, has a great channel, and he gets a ton of calls, and he has a dedicated phone number. So when he looks at his phone, it just says YouTube.
Nice.
So it's certainly, you know, there's options there to drive certain people to certain phone numbers and such, especially with their CRM connections and things like that. Like, you can get pretty creative.
Yeah, no. And I love that you brought up your goal, because everyone's going to have a different goal, and that your goal here is just to have that be your area of expertise, just sharing that with people and then driving them to your Instagram channel from there or wherever else they may go. And because we're talking about YouTube, do you focus on or even worry about like, subscribe, and share the video or the channel?
I do say that in there in most of them, just because I also distribute my agent YouTube channel to a podcast. So it's also, you know, going out to there. So my call to action in the agent one's a little bit longer than my call to action. But, you know, hey, I use Calendly, you know, book a call for buyer consult, you know, listing console, whatever. So I have different links in the description and stuff to drive people to. But most of the time when people reach out from YouTube, it's either, actually, oddly enough, one lady called me, another guy, a lot of people message me on my Facebook business page, which is also linked obviously there. But that's how I just had this happen again. It's a buyer who liked my feature on Littleton, which is a suburb that I live in. Actually. And that one had 34 views, and he's moving here in June from New York. So,
and
I mean, it's the vanity metrics don't really matter.
Yeah.
To be honest, I'd rather have one person that actually listened to it and got something from the video who reaches out than having 700, 800 views and no engagement or no outreach.
Yes. And I love that you pointed out Facebook. They're messaging you on Facebook because Facebook has a bad rap. And a lot of times, you know, people kind of are just like, well, I'm all on Instagram or I'm all on YouTube, but they're not really using Facebook anymore for whatever reasons. But the fact that these people are starting to message you on Facebook is awesome for that piece of it.
Yeah. I mean, I think a little bit of that's generational. Right.
Yeah, 100%. Yep.
There's a lot of people who use Google and have never even been on Instagram.
Yeah.
Right. So that's important. And I train and coach a lot of agents to really focus. And this is hard because obviously I just named off all the places that I am, you know, but you have to be consistent on one social media platform at a time. Like, when I'm training new agents, I say, look, TikTok isn't Instagram and Instagram isn't Facebook. Like, just focus on building Instagram, getting dialed in, making content for that platform, getting consistent. If you do that for 12 weeks and you're consistent and everything's set up and running right, then maybe you can add another one, only if you can stay consistent. But since, like, Instagram and Facebook are linked, people just, you know, think that they're on Instagram and Facebook because they just share across.
Yep.
Right. And they think that TikTok's fine just throwing the Instagram, you know, watermark on there. And I would caution people just to focus on one, YouTube too. You know, if you're doing YouTube, focus on YouTube for 12 weeks, get consistent, like keep using the other platforms how you use them in your personal life. You don't want to like completely disappear on any audience or anything.
Yep.
But for business, like build one at a time, 12 weeks at a time, get consistent, and then go to the next one and get consistent on that, and then get consistent on that. But don't abandon, unless you're just abandoning ship on a platform because it's not working. Don't try and do them all at once. Jack of all trades, master of none is social media marketing death, I think, as far as real estate goes.
Yes. No, and I love that you touched on the 12-week piece of it. Two questions. Anything specific or why it's 12 weeks? And most people listening are probably thinking this question of how long should my videos be? Because that always comes up.
Well, when I'm doing anything marketing, I say, how long do I watch a YouTube video? Or how long do I watch a Instagram short or reel or whatever? And so if you can think about that and cater to yourself as, you know, someone who's indulging in content, then that's kind of what I would suggest. There's no magic time frame. Obviously, you have time limits on the reels and the shorts.
Sure.
But I mean, I think it's long enough to get your point across or get your information out there without rambling. And so I have videos that are 4 minutes. I have videos that are 22 minutes. I have interviews that are 30 minutes. Right. And so it depends. I mean, everything's different, but I try and stay really focused. Right. I try to keep to a why, or I'm sorry, what, why it matters, lesson, apply.
Ooh, I like that.
So you have what, why, lesson, apply. If you can keep it in 90 seconds, it's a short. If it takes you 5 minutes, it's a YouTube video. If it takes you 10 minutes, it's a YouTube video and Facebook video, right?
Yeah.
And so that's just the general framework. I know it doesn't always, you know, pan out, especially on the production side or selling houses. But if you can keep that and really dial into why people should pay attention, and then teach what you need to teach or get the, you know, 5 talking points out or 3 or whatever.
Yeah.
And then how that applies to the viewer's life. I mean, that's all you really need, I think.
100%. Well, and I love that you brought up earlier about not having the script, the teleprompter, because when I'm working with my video coaching clients, that's exactly what I tell them all the time is you don't need a script. Your script is your talking points and your whatever the topic is. So you have your topic and your 3, maybe 5 talking points, just right. So that way you can, once you get started, you just go and you're the expert. Right. So it's easy for you to talk.
You can't, about I mean, don't go out there and create a bunch of videos about stuff you have no idea what you're talking about, because right. it's obvious, right? And I think teleprompter really zaps authenticity, which is super important at this stage of the game. Now, there is some cool teleprompter activity and you can make the GPT talk like you and do all the things. That's great. Right. I just don't need it because I'm the expert. I'd have an outline. I can talk. And I also have an editor.
Yeah.
Right. So when I drop the F-bomb or something, they can like, dang it, I'd miss that. Like they can edit that out. Right. And so that's huge. And when I do have batching, and since I do have an editor, I can have all my bullet points right here on my screen.
Yes.
I can read them, right? Or read one, take a deep breath, let it go silent so that your editor hears it, and then deliver to the camera.
Yeah.
Finish, look over here, go silent for a little bit, read it, make sure I got what I say, you know, dial it in, look at the camera, deliver. And so that makes it a lot easier. And with this day and age of jump cuts and B-roll and stuff like that, it's really easy for anybody with any editing background to do that.
Yeah. No, and I love that too. I'm going to point that out even more, is that you took breaks, because that
right.
helps whoever's editing, even if it's you, the agent listening, that's going to help you big time with your edits and having that break in the audio piece, which is huge.
Right. So the audio bar is going, and then it goes quiet. They know that that's where they need to make a cut, usually.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I know we're going to wrap up here shortly, but any other YouTube techniques or tips that you have in your toolbox there that we haven't already covered?
Yeah, I mean, I think just batching content. I would say that if you're really struggling getting on video in the production space, do interviews like mayor campaign, essentially, right? It's a lot easier to do interviews like this for content because you have somebody else, you're talking to someone else. It's not as awkward. So I would start with lives so you get used to the talking to the camera piece, and you can be in your car, you could be, at a listing, you could be at an open house, you could be at your desk, like where I like to shoot a lot of my videos. And so focus on that for that. But then if you want to grow that and be kind of the mayor of your town, just do an interview with one local business every single week or two a month or whatever your cadence is. And you will find that you're slowly not even paying attention. Right. Like I sit here and I look into this camera right now, straight down the lens, and it's like I'm talking to my avatar, not a camera lens.
Yes.
Right. I mean, obviously now I'm talking to you, so it's an interview, but
Yeah.
you can get that comfortable with it, and it's not as awkward, and your kids eventually stop laughing when you're just talking to your camera all day. But I think that that's huge. I think local interviews with local businesses is a great way to get out, right? I don't do that a ton. I should probably do it more because those businesses are going to share that content and hopefully grow your audience in your specific hyper local market.
Oh, that's such a great tip. And yeah, being able to get out and about, and you're getting content, they're getting content, and now you're opened up to a new audience, which is awesome.
Right. And then again, the gear isn't like you have everything you need right here in a cell phone, to be honest, to get going. One of my good friends, Suman, came out of Austin, Texas, literally made 2 million GCI last year. And he did most of his videos with an iPhone setup. He's gotten a little more fancy now that he's broken on the scene,
Sure.
but 87 transactions in his very first year in a new town from just his iPhone. Right, $67 million in volume. So I would say don't overthink it and try not to. Now, when I'm coaching agents, this is a huge part of it, right? Because they see me on video
Yeah.
and I say, okay, you need a setup that's set up, right? Because so many times we're like, oh, I'm not going to shoot videos today because I didn't get ready. Oh, I'm not going to shoot videos today because I have to set up the camera and the lights and all the things. Oh, I'm not going to shoot videos today because of any excuse you can possibly think, right? So if you have a dedicated place, you can flip on the light, press record, you're a lot more likely to record that video and use it. So those are kind of the tips that I would say in no particular order. I kind of jumped all over the board there, but you don't need equipment. You can interview other people. That's easy. And set up a space so that it's one less thing, right? Especially the ladies,
Yes.
right? You have to get your hair done, you have to do all that. Some of us guys are like, all right, I've definitely filmed videos in a polo and sweatpants,
Yeah.
right? From this, like, but some people are like, there's no way, right? And so, ladies or not, whoever you are, if you have to, be ready and prep for getting on video, make sure that you get ready, but you have a space to go to so you can sit down, flip a couple buttons, and be off and running.
It's so true. Having that dedicated space, and it doesn't have to be a full-on studio for those who are listening. Like, you can literally just have, again, your iPhone on a tripod with some natural light. Like, right now I'm in front of two windows, but I also have a ring light. It's not on, but I have one for when it gets dark. So all I have to do is hit the button. Boom, I'm set. I can ready to go, right? So
He doesn't have
it's knowing your
glasses, so he
scene.
doesn't have to figure out how to make it not
Right.
glare
Right. I know.
on.
Well, I do have my blue tint ones that I'll put on
Yeah.
sometimes. But yes, you have that piece of it too, right? And so then it's like once you have your space, that's when you can kind of know, okay, can I be higher or lower? And you move things around. So then you get comfortable. So you're like you said, you just show up, and then I always like to say you show up, you deliver, and you engage with whoever's engaging with your content.
Right. deliver that to that target audience. Like, I literally coach agents sometimes and I'm like, put a picture, draw a picture of your avatar and put it right there. Glenda Baker, who's an amazing Instagram follow.
I love her on
literally,
TikTok. I watch her all the time.
her assistant Denver, they record on Saturdays. Her assistant is named Denver, or it was when she was on our call, a while back.
Yeah.
Sits there and asks her the question and she hits record and answers it. Right. So that's the echo effect. Write down a question or a funny story or a stupid story. And he literally just takes notes all week. She sends him stuff. He collects stuff, whatever. And then on Saturdays, he comes over to her home office and he sits in a chair right here and he says, Glenda, question, question, question. She presses record, answers the question to him, but on Instagram. And that's what you see.
Well, and I love, in the beginning days, I didn't know this, but she never looked in the camera. She does now, but before she never did. And
just
I
looking
was,
at him.
Yeah, at the early stage, I was like, why is she not looking at the camera? And then that's when I found out about that. And I was like, oh, that's part of her thing. Like, that's how she felt comfortable in her video journey. And then as you continue to follow, you can see how she's progressed over time. And it's awesome to have that as part of your story. You know, being able to start there where you are just to get out there.
Yep. And
no,
so
awesome.
There's no excuse, really. I mean, ultimately, especially this day and age with the value needed and all the things, you know, for whatever industry you're in, like, just show up on video and provide value and things will probably go well.
Yes. Yes. All right. So we'll have all of your links in the description for people to connect with you and check out your channels, as well as follow you on Instagram. And would you say that Instagram is like your primary? Like, do you have a primary spot that you always send people to?
I do not.
Okay.
I kind of
just want to check.
I just want to be where every generation is. Not that every generation is my target, but, you know, that's just where I want to be. So I would say, and also, so here's the deal. I built my entire business through Facebook. My Facebook got hacked. And since it was connected through Meta to both of my Instagrams, they all got shut down and I couldn't get it back.
Yep.
And I still can't get my ads account back because of whatever the people did. It was Facebook mostly. Then I took the time to, okay, my new Facebook and my new Instagrams. I separated my Instagrams because I felt like every single person that followed me on Instagram was a realtor. So I was like, you know, so I just started that as my agent attraction. Then I was Facebook focused on production. Now they're a little bit blended together. I have two Instagrams, but my Facebook, like from these groups and stuff, I have a lot of real estate agent friends. But there's no rhyme or reason. I try and be available because I can be consistent across all the channels.
There it is, that consistency.
So yeah, I would say if you want tips and that kind of stuff, the shorts are probably better snippets, but my YouTube channel for agents is really good. I get lots of good feedback. It's not your traditional, you know, social media only or systems and processes only. It's pretty much everything I've done to be, you know, a top 100 agent for the last 8 years in Denver.
I can hear the dings for all the subscribers happening right now as
there
we speak.
Absolutely. Yep. And happy to connect and always willing to chat and kind of go through some stuff and inspire and whatever anyone needs, man. Appreciate you too, Ed, for doing what you do in the space.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And thank you so much for being on here to share with us about video and YouTube and really encouraging more agents to start their video journey and continue with that, even if they're not seeing what they think are successful numbers in terms of views or subscribers or, you know, all of those things. It really does give a fresh spin on what we're doing and what we need to be doing. So I appreciate that.
It's almost like a different kind of imposter syndrome, right?
Yeah.
You always see this stuff and the vanity metrics are so high, right? And you're like, oh, that person's perfect. That person's selling all the houses. No, that person just posted the same house four times. And if they're savvy, they just change the picture.
Yeah.
Right. But it's the same house and they really only closed one and it probably didn't even get to closing.
Or those views
right
weren't
the first
even
time.
Yeah, or those views weren't even in their local market, which is the only spot that they're selling homes.
Right. And so that's huge. And don't just look at that. You don't know, because literally I was paying someone $5 a video to optimize and get me a bunch of views in Russia, like at the end of the day, you know. And so you don't know where the views come from. You can buy subscribers, you can buy followers, you can, but just get to know people through their content and be authentic in your own, and it won't steer you wrong.
Yes. Awesome. Thank you so much, Jeremy, for being here. And if anybody has any questions for Jeremy or just wants to connect, be sure to use the links down below. And if you need anything from me, feel free to use my links down below as well. And we look forward to chatting more later.
Well, let's get rolling and have it again.
Yep.